we see in the sky, we recognize that all of that, the things that God has created, all of that declares God's glory. We think about the mountains. I love the mountains. Love to be able to visit there and see the beauty of the mountains. And I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. It says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." The mountains, the trees, the fields, the forests, all of it brings God glory. It reveals the glory of God. Everything that we see, I was driving a couple of weeks ago, and I was going from my house up to Pocosin to stop at Food Lion, and as I was going up Victory Boulevard, an eagle came out of the trees, flew right into my path. Just not into my path, but kind of flew over me, kind of a flyover, and it was just beautiful to behold the creation that God has given to us. I've mentioned before my bird feeder that I have, and I love to watch the birds, and especially all the different colors of the birds that God has made. And, you know, you can go out there, you can watch the yellow finches and the red cardinals and the bluebirds, and you know, when you stop and think about all that God has made, He could have made every bird like a gray sparrow. Nothing wrong with gray sparrows, but God, in His grace, has created all things, and it is glorious. Every one of the birds displays God's glory. Did you know that even the lowliness of the creatures also displays God's glory? This morning we're talking about the ant. We're talking about the ant. And this passage of Scripture begins this way. It says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." Let me just pause right there before we read the passage, the rest of the passage. Notice it says to go to the ant. It says to consider her ways. Now, most of us don't really think much about ants unless we're going to kill them. All right, let's just be honest and real this morning. All right, most of us don't really think much about the ant. But when you stop and consider this lowly creature that for some reason God made, it is amazing to behold. Let me just share a few facts with you about ants. As you think about the number of ants that are in the world today, I mean, really, the number of ants is incalculable. There's no way that you could number all of the ants that are alive today. They inhabit every continent except for Antarctica. I guess it's too cold in Antarctica. They say that if you take all of the life forms on the terrestrial parts of the earth, that means you take all the life forms on the landmass of the earth, ants would comprise 25% of all the terrestrial biomass. Yeah, that's a lot of ants, right? Ants are numerous. But they're also very strong. Ants are extremely strong. Some of them can pick up 50 times their own body weight. Think about that for a moment. So I weigh somewhere around 200 pounds. That means that I should be able to pick up 50 times my weight, 10,000 pounds. So I have a Honda in one hand and a Toyota in the other. That's right. Ants are strong. I'm sure many of you have been to picnics and sit there and watch as they carry off, you know, something that's three or four times their size. They're extremely strong. And one of the things that's so amazing about ants is how cooperative they are, how they work together. I mean, there are no lone ranger ants. There's always They're always working together. There's a video on YouTube about African ants, an African anthill. Now, anthills around here aren't that impressive. But if you ever go to the continent of Africa, you will see anthills that are literally 5 or 6 foot tall. They're pretty impressive. And this video shows someone who wanted to find out what's below the surface. Anthills are kind of like icebergs. You know, we can see what's above the surface, but there's a lot that's under the surface as well. And so these people, these scientists decided they're going to kind of do some studying, and so they took some cement and they started pumping cement into the anthill. Now, I know if there were any PETA people, they probably wouldn't like that very much, but that's what they did. They pumped cement into the anthill. In fact, they pumped 10 tons of cement into that anthill. And after they finished filling it up, they let it stand for about 3 or 4 weeks so it would get hard. And after they had let it get hardened, they went back to the anthill. They began to excavate. I guess these people didn't have a whole lot of things to do with their time. But they began to excavate all around the anthill. And they kept going deeper and deeper and deeper. And what they discovered was absolutely amazing. If you ever get a chance to, you know, if you're really bored this afternoon, you want to find out, just YouTube African anthill cement or something along those lines. And what you discover is as they excavated this, they discovered all of these tunnels and little pods all throughout the excavation. It just went on and on and on for as deep as you can imagine. I mean, 10 tons is a lot of cement. And what's so amazing about this anthill is they discovered all these tunnels that it would almost look like an entire metropolitan area under the earth. And somebody said it would take an architect, a very intelligent architect, to be able to design something like this. And yet here it was designed by an ant. It's amazing. Truly amazing. And that's what God says here: consider her ways. Consider her ways and be wise. And so this morning, I want us to do just that. I want us to consider the ant this morning as we continue in our sermon series on Work Matters. And this morning, we're going to look at two things. Actually, we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at the ant, and then we're going to look at the opposite of the ant, and that is the sluggard. All right, so let's talk about the ant first. Let's continue on in this text. If you have your Bibles, it says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for the time of worship that we have experienced already this morning. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather in this place to read and to study your word. God, I thank you that you've chosen to speak to us in and through your word. And I pray, Father, that during these moments that we have together, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us as we think about work and having a good work ethic. Help us, Lord, to learn and to be able to apply these things to our lives. For we pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So 2 points this morning. That's unusual. If you've been with us, we got 2 points this morning. Number one, I want you to consider the ant. Consider the ant. And there's 3 things about the ant from this passage of Scripture. First of all, the ant takes initiative. He takes initiative. Look at verse number 7. It says, without having any chief, officer, or ruler. What does that mean? That means that there's no boss ant standing over the others with a whip. Ants do not report to anyone. No one has ever seen a foot-dragging ant. An ant has within herself all the motivation that she needs to make something out of her life, and she never lets up. There's an inner motivation in the ant, and that inner motivation is what the author of the book of Proverbs is telling us as followers of God that we should have in our lives. That means that we do things not because others are watching us. We do things not because others are seeing us. We do things because of the glory of God. Now, is this passage of Scripture saying that there is no place for leaders? No, I don't think that's what it's saying. Of course, that's not what it's saying. The Bible has a lot to say about leadership. The Bible talks about how we have leaders in our nation. It says we have leaders within our churches. We have leaders even within our home. This passage is not saying that leaders are unimportant. What this passage is saying is that with or without leaders, a good worker is going to take the initiative. I want you to look at another passage of Scripture for a moment this morning in Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. The Apostle Paul also says something about taking initiative. He says in verse 5, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Listen, not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." What is Paul telling us in that passage of Scripture? He's telling us that as a faithful worker who follows the Lord Jesus Christ, we should work just as hard whether the boss is there or not. We're not working to be people pleasers, we're working to be God worshipers. And the way that we work impacts how we worship God. I want you to think for a moment about the modern worker. There have been a lot of studies that have been done recently on the modern worker. And a lot of the studies on the modern worker is proven the fact that there is a lot of wasted time that takes place in the workforce. A lot of people who are at their computer screens, and instead of doing the work that they're supposed to be doing, they're on Facebook, or they're on Twitter, or they're on some other social media network, or maybe they're on their cell phone. And what happens when the boss comes in? All those things go away, right? When the boss comes in, everything goes away, and you're acting like you're back at work again. And what this passage of Scripture is reminding us, and what Ephesians 6 is reminding us, is this: whether the boss is there or not, we are to work as unto the Lord. He is the one who is ultimately your boss. Amen? He is the one who is ultimately your boss. And so the ant has no chief, has no officer, no ruler. He is continuing to do the work whether someone is there watching or not. He takes the initiative. Number two, he works diligently. Look at verse number 8. It says, "She prepares her bread in summer." Under the hot sun, the ant scurries and gets the job done. We've all been at a 4th of July picnic, and we've all been relaxing, enjoying the sun or the beach or wherever you might be. All the while, the ants are carrying off the sugar one grain at a time. And before long, they're coming back for the fritos. Answer diligent. Answer hard workers. Answer always busy. That's what this passage of Scripture, she prepares her bread in summer. Now, I need to go back to last week, to our sermon last week where we talked about Sabbath rest, and I'll just say this. If these are Christian ants, then they are going to observe the Sabbath rest as we talked about last week. All right? Remember the formula we talked about last week. 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. Someone said it this way. Work hard, play hard. That's what the ant does. He works hard and rests diligently. She prepares her bread in summer. And then number three, also, he prepares for the future. Look at verse 8 again. And gathers her food in harvest. Gathers her food in harvest. You see, the ant works today for tomorrow. She's not hoping that life will go away. She gets out ahead of the next season of life. Working today for the harvest means that there's a harvest coming, and you need to make sure that you're ready for the harvest, because there may be a day when the harvest isn't going to come. All of us go through different seasons of life, and we need to be ready for whatever season is coming around the corner. Are you getting ready now in the day of harvest? Now, I know this passage of Scripture is not talking about financial savings or anything like that, but let me just kind of put a plug in there for making sure that we are doing all that we can, not just to work for today, but also to be saving for tomorrow. We never know what's going to happen next, do we? We never know when we're going to have that car that breaks down, or a refrigerator that goes on the blink, or whatever it happens to be. We never know what's going to happen. And so that's one of the reasons why so many people today are stuck in credit card debt, is because they haven't taken the time to save for the future. Just save a little bit, whether it's $5 or $20 or $100. Save something for the future, because we don't know what's going to come next. And the ant remembers that. The ant is thinking about that. And as followers of God, we should consider her ways. So the simple question is this: are you getting ready now? Are you getting ready now for the day of harvest? Are you stocking up today, not just financially, but are you stocking up today on God's Word, taking advantage of every opportunity that God gives to you? Prepare for tomorrow. So that's a few things about the ant. Now, let's go to turn around and talk about the sluggard for just a moment. I know you'd rather talk about the ant. I would too. But did you know that in the book of Proverbs, there are 14 different references to the sluggard? 14 different times, and all throughout the book of Proverbs, it talks about the sluggard. And so I think it's significant, even in this passage of Scripture, verse number 9, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? Verse 6, we read at the beginning, go to the ant, O sluggard. There's a contrast that's taking place here. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. So there's obviously a contrast between those who are working diligently, those who are taking initiative, those who are saving up for tomorrow, and someone who is not. And the author of the book of Proverbs calls him a sluggard. So I was reading a blog post by Bob Russell, who is a pastor in Louisville, Kentucky, and he wrote down the following things about the sluggard based on the book of Proverbs. And so they're in your notes. Just look at them with me for a moment. First of all, a sluggard seldom finishes anything. Seldom finishes anything. The passage of Scripture is this, Proverbs 12, verse 27. Listen to what the proverb says. The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. So what does that mean? That means the lazy man enjoys hunting. He enjoys hunting. That's the fun part. But cleaning his game, building a fire, roasting the meat, that's the tedious part, and he seldom gets it done. He's got a lot of good ideas. He's got a lot of good intentions. He starts a lot of worthy projects, but he seldom finishes anything simply because he has trouble persevering when the job becomes tedious. The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. Number two, he is full of excuses. Full of excuses. Proverbs 22, verse 13 says it this way. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets. Now, there's really no lion outside. That's just what he says. That's what he says to get around the project, to get around what he's doing. Let's kind of bring this closer to home, because most of us don't say that when we're talking to our bosses. We don't talk about lions. So what are the excuses that we make in 2019? Well, I had to quit. My nerves were shot. I didn't go in for a week because the pollen count was up and my allergies were killing me. I didn't go into work because I didn't want to contaminate everyone in the office. That's probably a good thing. Don't get me wrong. We don't want to be contaminated, okay? It's Friday. No one works on Friday afternoon. I'm just going to slip out a little bit early. It's Derby week. The whole town shuts down. It's so cold outside, I was afraid there might be some black ice on the roadway, so I just decided to call in today. The traffic is so heavy at 8:30, I just wait to come in a little bit later. Nobody will notice. The weatherman said there's a possibility of heavy thunderstorms, so I stayed home. Not sure what thunderstorms are going to do, but anyway, just some excuses that people have made in the past, and maybe there are others out there. On and on they go, excuses after excuses. The sluggard is full of excuses. Number three, he talks a good game. He talks a good game. Listen to this, Proverbs 14, verse 23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Have you ever known someone that was a big talker but never did anything? You ever known somebody at work or known somebody in your office that just talked a big talk and he learns how to sound impressive, but you know it's a con game. You know it's nothing real. When it comes to the daily grind of showing up on time and sweating it out and being dependable, that person just disappears. I'm sure all of us have been there and known people like that. They talk a big game. It's all mere talk. And the Bible says mere talk only leads to poverty. Talk's a big game. Number four, he's full of unrealistic dreams. Unrealistic dreams. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 28, verse 19. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. Boy, do we need to hear that verse in our culture today. There's a lot of people today who think, well, I'll just do the next get-rich-quick scheme of things. I don't really have to go to work. I don't really have to put in my time. I can just do the next big thing. Listen, it's great to have big ideas. Amen. It's important to have big ideas. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people will perish. If there wasn't for big ideas, if it wasn't for dreams, we wouldn't have the internet. We wouldn't have iPhones. But listen, the lazy man, the sluggard, that's always looking for. He's just looking for easy money without any effort. His dreams are unrealistic. He says, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to pick the 6 winners at the racetrack. I'm going to do all of these things. And basically, I'm just going to scoot by without doing any work at all. That's what the sluggard says. His dreams are unrealistic because they are not preceded by hard work. Proverbs 12, verse 11 says it this way, "He who chases fantasies lacks judgment." He who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Someone said it this way, "The ladder of success is like any other ladder. Very few have climbed it with their hands in their pockets." Think about that. The ladder of success is like any other ladder. Very few have climbed it with their hands in their pockets. No. If you're going to climb the ladder of success, if you're going to climb any type of ladder, you've got to work at it. It's not just going to come to you easily. That's what the sluggard says. He's full of unrealistic dreams. And finally, this one. Listen to this. He gets on people's nerves. Listen to this proverb. I love it. Proverbs 10:26. "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him." Go home this afternoon, take a teaspoon of vinegar. It's not that pleasant, is it? Some people like it. Most people don't. The vinegar leaves a sour taste in your mouth. Smoke burns and irritates the eyes. It probably will not kill you, but it is a constant source of aggravation. And if you have a goof off on your team or someone who refuses to do the work that's required, everyone knows it, and it irritates those who work hard. Amen? We've been talking, obviously, about the workforce. Obviously, all of these principles that we've talked about with the ant as well as with the sluggard, all of them deal with the workforce. We looked at how hard the ant works, and we talked about the sluggard this morning. But I believe that these principles also apply to our spiritual lives. There are some people who are like the ant in their spiritual life. They're like the ant in their spiritual life. It's not that they're working for their salvation. We know that our salvation is not something we work for. Our salvation comes to us as a free gift from God. We are not saved by works, but by faith. However, once we are saved, I believe that we should be serving God and serving others. We should be serving God and serving others. We should be diligent in our service to the Lord. We should be diligent in our growth as believers in Christ. And then there are also people, those who have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, but they are sluggards, spiritually speaking. And to them, I would say this, Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Just jot that verse down. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. It says this, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. For some of you this morning, it is time to wake up spiritually. For some of you this morning, you have been saved and you've been baptized, but for whatever reason, you have become a sluggard in your spiritual life. You are not growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not serving the church or serving others. Let me challenge you this morning to wake up. To wake up and to become more like the ant in your spiritual life. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this time that we have spent together in your word. And Lord, I do pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning that God, that you would help us in our work life to be more like the ant. Lord, to be people who are motivated, to be people, Lord, who are working diligently. God, help us, God, to be people who are planning for the future. And God, I pray also that you would help us to do that in our spiritual lives. That God, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we would be diligent in our service to you. That we'd be diligent in our service to others. And Father, I pray for those who may be here this morning. And as they hear this passage of Scripture, as they hear, Lord, this application to their spiritual lives, Lord, maybe in their heart they know that they have become a sluggard. And I pray, Father, that by your Spirit that you would convict us and help us, Lord, to turn around and, Lord, to turn our lives back over to you completely. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us right now. Help us, Lord, to listen to your voice as we respond to your word. Father, if there's somebody here today who's never put their faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, and I pray that today would be a day of salvation. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here who needs prayer, Lord, that you would allow them, Lord, to pray openly to you. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, move in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.